Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome back to Brian and Belinda. Great to see you here. Starting a new series this week on relationship. We have our vision, and how do we do that? Relationship. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we will look at this passage. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us in your word. We thank you that Jesus is the center of our faith and the reason we gather here today at church. And we know we are to have a relationship with him through faith and belief. And we pray that through this passage today that you'll help us to understand this more. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A great musical prophet once said, "Anyone can learn to write a song, but it takes a rare person to write a good one." How true is that? I've written a few songs in my life. Let me tell you, they were all really bad. We all want to hear songs that we like. So what types of music or songs do you like? Have a chat to the person next to you for a minute and share what types of songs or music do you like, just for a minute. With my daughter, so I better say I like Taylor Swift. Anyway, well done, everybody. In Psalm 98, we have a song to God, a song that we can sing with our best voices, a song of worship, a song about relationship with God. Now, I could attempt to sing this song to you, but my singing might upset you. So let me just tell you about it. This is an early version of a worship hymn. There are three stanzas, nine verses, equally divided. The first stanza, so equally divided, verses 1 to 3, is all about looking back to the past. Second stanza, verses 4 to 6, looking to the right now, the present. And then the third stanza, verses 7 to 9, looking to the future, past, present, future. But why this psalm? Why not another psalm or another chapter of the Bible? Well, I found this psalm to be particularly helpful to me, and this psalm to be very thorough, simple, straightforward, but thorough on relationship with God. You know, millions are crying out around the world for a relationship with God. And this psalm gives us good reason for a relationship with God. So in coming weeks, we're going to look at a 3-week series, a relationship, next week, relationship with believers. Following week is relationship to the world around us, the suburbs around us. But this week, it's relationship with God. It's part of our vision series,
And relationship with God is what I'm, as the pastor, trying to encourage us all to do along with the other relationships. So let's continue. So we sing and we worship and we have a relationship with God, for he has done marvelous things, as we can see in verse 1. The key word is done. What has God done? He has reached down with a strong arm. Psalm 98 says, right hand, holy arm. Basically, strong arm. Strong arm means God's power and holiness. You know, the world we live in is messed up. But with a strong arm, Jesus has rescued us from this sin. He has reached down. See, we could not reach up. That's the problem with every other religion in the world, is we try and reach up. But what does a messy world teach us? That we don't have a strong arm. We, because of sin, we have a broken arm. And then we need God to reach down. You know, in the news recently, there was some floods in Queensland. There seems to be floods everywhere in every state, but there were floods in Queensland, and there was a picture of a man who was trapped on top of his car. He was warned not to drive across the road, which became a raging river, but he did anyway. And a helicopter had to fly in, reach down, and rescue him. Same with God. Because of what we have done, sinners, he has reached down and rescued those who have faith in him, those who believe in him. He has done it. Marvelous, wonderful, incredible, amazing things. He has done it. He has made salvation known. It was once a mystery. Like the voice referendum coming up. Which way are people going to vote? What's going to happen? What's going to be the outcome? That's a bit of a mystery. Salvation at one time was a mystery, but God has made it known how we can be right with him. And it's all about Jesus on the cross who paid the penalty for our sin. Not his, he was without sin, but for our sin, he paid the penalty. And then we know we have forgiveness, we know we have new life, we know we have the Holy Spirit because he rose from the dead. God has taken away the mystery. He has made known his salvation. He, as again, verses 1 to 3, he has worked salvation. So many people in the world, we think it's about, I've got to work salvation. I've got to do it. I've got to fashion it. I've got to shape it. Well, in this room, you might not think that, but many of our friends, school, uni, work, family, they think that. Might not say it, but a lot of people think it. I've got to work it. But no, we don't have to work it. He has already done it. He's done it in love. God has been faithful to his promises in the Old Testament. He pointed forward to Jesus, the Saviour, and he's, to the ends of the earth, he has brought salvation for those who believe. He has done it. And so we have a relationship with God because of what he has done. You know, there are contractors, work people, men and women, contractors out the front, on my street, out the front of my house. At the moment, they're always digging holes. They're always replacing cables, laying cables, repairing cables, replacing pipes. Now, in the early days on my street, a few years ago, I asked them why. But as the months and years have passed, I have no idea why they're doing it now. They just seem to be always doing it. I've come to the conclusion on my street must be a practice street. A training of new recruits that once they graduate, they can move to a real street and get some stuff done. But it seems to me that these contractors are never done. It can be like that in life. We desperately want so much of life to be done. Jobs around the house, homework, schooling, maybe a prolonged illness. We wish it was just done, over. Temptation with a sin. Wish we could just get rid of it, done. Each person is different. Each person has different pressures in this room. We're all different. But so much of life's troubles, we just want it to be done, don't we? But then once it's done, there's always something else that needs to be done. Do you have anything in life that you just wish that it was just done, over? I think we all do. Well, the good news about relationship with God is there is a new song in town. The old song was Never Done. It's a dirge. Sounds horrible. Never Done. But the new song is Salvation is Done, and the lyrics are awesome. All of you who are in high school, the good news, primary school is done. Yeah? All of you at university, students, good news, high school is done. It's done. Relationship with God, salvation, Jesus, good news. We need to remind ourselves, because we live in a world that many people don't think this, but it's done. Like today, we're remembering communion. And so around the grounds, around the world, there are differences. So, for instance, our Roman Catholic friends. Now, we respect our Roman Catholic friends. We certainly do. But they have a version of communion that we strongly disagree with here in the Congregational Church, here in the Bible. They call it the Eucharist. Now, the Eucharist is when the bread and the cup physically change and become the body and the blood of Jesus. Do you understand that? So they teach that the bread during the Eucharist, during their version, changes and literally becomes the body of Jesus. Or the cup that we drink literally, physically changes here in this room and becomes, not this specific room, you get the idea, in the room that wherever you're in, becomes the blood of Jesus. We strongly disagree. See, the problem is if it literally changes, what we are doing is we are taking the crucified Christ and we keep bringing him back. The crucified Christ, we keep bringing him back. But his work of salvation on the cross is done. The Eucharist teaches it's never done, but it's done. See, here in the Congregational Church and in the Bible, the crucifixion happened one time only, and there's plenty of passages in the Bible that teaches that. 2,000 years ago, one time only. That's when it happened. And so the bread and the cup here, they are literally just bread and cup. It is symbolic. It points back to a time 2,000 years ago when it was done by Jesus. And so when we eat and we drink, we remember, it points us to the power of Jesus, and we remember that his salvation, one time only, is done, and God blesses us when we do that. It is done. And we can also stop worrying. See, his salvation is not about us. So, imagine that you're walking down the road here, Burwood Road. Imagine you're walking down and you come to the Cooks River, and then you trip over and you accidentally fall into the Cooks River. And then you begin dissolving, as you do. But then courageously, Uncle Sung, he sees you, he runs down the hill, he jumps in and saves you. Now you're back on land, now you're back on the bridge, back on the road. What are you going to do? Are you going to go, oh, I'm drowning? drowning. I'm drowning. No, you're not going to do that. Because you're back on land. He has saved you. It is done. It is the same with God. He has saved us. We're not going to go, I'm dying because of sin. It's done. In a moment, we're going to sing Jesus Messiah. And that is all about salvation is done. And so we have a relationship with God. We sing, we worship, because the marvellous things, the salvation that he's done, marvellous things with his salvation, it is done. It is past, it is complete. We are called to have faith in him. But we also sing, worship, and we have a relationship with God because of what he's doing. Right now, in the present. So what is he doing? You know, sometimes we are tempted to think that the Lord is doing nothing in our lives. Particularly if we're going through a problem or a trial or a tribulation. It can cross our minds. We've got a problem in life, we pray. But then, if we're honest, at times it seems like nothing's happening. It seems like the Lord is always doing something with someone else, but not me. Have you ever been there? Feels like that. I've been there. But what we all need to do is be assured that God is always doing something. You know, like many other Christians in this room and around our city, I've had a number of low moments in my life when it seemed like the Lord was doing nothing. But then as the years have passed, over the years, a couple of times I've been struck. That's not the case. I've been comforted with the fact that he's always doing something. And let me give you a couple of things that have hit me at various times in my life. You know, everybody's different, but here's what struck me, that the Lord is doing something right now. The first one is the Lord protects. There's plenty of verses in the Bible. Psalm 127 is one example. So here's what happens. We pray. We pray for something. We desperately want something and we don't receive it. But then the Lord, he might be protecting us from some danger. Some idol that we can't see. And the reason we don't get what we ask for is he's protecting us. That has really helped me to make progress through those times where I don't always get what I pray for. The other one that has really helped me over the years is the Lord intercedes for us. Romans 8. And so Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, he's at the right hand of the Father and he is always interceding for his people, for Christians. So how does this work? Every time I sin, Jesus steps in and argues that I've done it. He is mine. I've saved him. He is secure. He is safe. Every single day. He intercedes. He's always doing something. So those couple of things have hit me and helped me. I'm sure you've got your own, but they've really helped me. And also in this text, verse 4, we read, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Now this would have been a shock to the early worshippers in the book of Psalms. They would have thought, back then, they would have thought, shout to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord? Well, that's just for the chosen people, the Jews. All the earth? What's going on here? Well, this reminds us, it's fulfilled in the New Testament as well, and seen in the New Testament as well, that God is seeking all of humanity. Not just the Jews, he's seeking all the earth. That's what it means. All the earth is all humanity. He desires all to come to repentance. God desires all to be saved. God is making salvation known to the worst of sinners. Even you and me here in Australia. He's making it known. So this is the music to the ears of all the nations. God wants all the earth, all humanity, to shout for joy. And he's doing that now. Sustaining us for that reason now. That's what he's doing. This is one of the reasons our church supports missionaries. During the week, I met Sam and Emily online. And in part, as we had a little interview, a little conversation with them, just me and a few other things, just finding out about them. In part, they shared what God is doing in universities, in their hometown and back in Lisbon, in Portugal. That's what God is doing now. You know, we live in a society that's crying out for private religion. They want private religion. And you know what private religion is based on? It's based on God is doing nothing. But Christians know the reason we shout for joy is because right now our God is doing something. We don't always know what, but he's doing something. Well, we've got three things here I mentioned. Protects, he intercedes. He's seeking that all humanity repent, be saved. He's doing something right now. And so we burst into jubilant song, as it says in verse 4, as well as shout for joy. We burst into jubilant song. Jubilant song is happy song. Happy. People tend to remember and sing songs that we're happy about. You know, I sing in the shower. I'm sure many of you do. We tend to sing songs that we're happy about. We make music that we're, if we can make music. But here in church, we make music to the Lord and songs that we're happy about. So back then in the Psalms, it was harp, it was horns, it was trumpets. Today, keyboards, guitar, microphones. It's different. It's all the same. We burst into jubilant song that we're happy about because God is doing something. He's not scheduled to commence his work early 2027. He's doing something right. And so all of us, including me, all of us, we need to avoid the temptation of thinking that God is doing nothing now. He's doing something. And so when we pray about the trials and troubles, we're going to keep praying, knowing that God's doing something. We don't always know what, but he's doing something. When we pray for the conversion of our friends and our loved ones, we're going to keep praying because God is doing something. Even in our church, God is bringing different peoples with different abilities, various backgrounds to our church. We don't always know what God is doing specifically. We know generally what he's doing. He's building his church, growing his people. But we don't always know specifically with individuals. But we know that God brings who he brings for a reason. He's doing something now here in our congregation. And so we sing, worship, and have relationship with God because of what he's doing. And finally, we sing, we worship, we have relationship with God because of what he will do. Many of you guys are pretty young. You don't always necessarily think of like long term. But, you know, it's always good to think about the future. It's always good to think about what God will do. And the reason is so much of the world is broken. We watch the news, we see people are hurting. And we know people in our lives in different ways who are hurting. I heard the other day of someone I know who's in school, who's facing bullying in school, hurting. So much evil in the world. Critics say, if God is all-powerful, all-loving, if he's so good and true, all-powerful, all-loving, why doesn't he just stop the suffering and evil in the world? Why doesn't he just do that? It's just not that simple. Let's think about that for a second. God is holy. If he was to stop evil as a holy God, he'd have to stop us. Now, of course, we would say, well, hold on, I define evil. It's about others out there, you know, the bad stuff out there. It's not me, it's my friends. You know, we're okay, it's others. But we've got to remember God is holy. He's perfect. He's without sin. He has to stop evil. He has to stop us. Or in the Bible, it talks about creation groans. We've changed that today. We call it climate change. But in the Bible, it's creation groans. Creation is crying for redemption. If God was to stop pain in creation, he'd have to get rid of us. Every single car trip. See, it's not that simple, is it? But the Bible makes it simple. God addresses evil and suffering. He names it. He knows it. He's dealing with it. He will deal with it. So for people, there is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. There is the new creation, the hope of glory, the future. When something seemed like they're just going to let people get away with it, they're not. They're not going to get away with nothing. Remember, God is holy, nothing. He will bring his justice. And so we see that at the end of this psalm. God, he will, future, he will judge the world in righteousness, so there will be justice, and the peoples with equity, and so that's fairness. And like, this is good to read, because, you know, we need him to put things right, don't we? We need to know we have a God who's in control, who's sovereign, he's going to put things right. We need to know that. I mean, even Father's Day. Father's Day is a great celebration. Happy Father's Day. But the reality is there are people probably in this room, Father's Day reminds them of some hurt. So it's good to say Happy Father's Day, but it's good to also remember that Father's Day can be a day of hurting for some people. Missing father, something else. So we need to know that God's going to put all things right. He's going to put all things right. Perfection, holy, not just some things, that all things right. And there's a positive side to that. Putting all things right means he's going to and prepare a place for those who believe. There's a seat in heaven with your name on it. That's part of putting all things right. And so we sing, we worship, we have a relationship with God, not just for what he does, for what he's doing and what he will do. Because sometimes, some of us, we look in the mirror and we think, oh, I'm getting ugly these days. I'm ugly. But for believers, the less attractive we are in the world, the more attractive we are in heaven. The less attractive we are to the world, the more attractive we are in heaven. So for the believer on earth, the body breaks down, but in heaven, builds up. God's going to put all things right. And so we sing, we worship, and God likes it when we do that. He wants us to do that. And we give thanks to those in our service, our congregation, our church, who lead the singing, who play the musical instruments. We give thanks for people who do that because we know that God likes that. And we do that because we have a relationship with God. And we also sing too. We sing too. The reason we sing is because of what God has done, what he's doing, and what he will do. And we have a relationship because of what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. And we sing to that. And so we're going to do that now in response. We're going to sing, and then we'll have communion.